The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Let's go, Jay Will. The Hawks blew out the Hornets in the play-in game. They need to win one more game against the Cavs tomorrow to make the playoffs. Jay, can Trey and the Hawks have another Cinderella run?
Well, I think they can beat the Cavs. I do not see this team, unless they are fully healthy, having John Collins, having Lou Williams, having a legit chance to beat Miami. Miami's culture is way too good. I think Miami will take them out in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, but Trey putting in that work. So is CJ McCollum looking great as he went off in the win versus the Spurs. The Pelicans will play at the LA Clippers on Friday night for a chance to advance to the playoffs. Jay, could the Pelicans or Clippers give the Suns a tougher series?
I think the Pelicans actually would. And I know the Clippers obviously having PG and Norman Powell and company, Reggie Jackson, how they can score defensively where they are. But the combination of CJ McCollum and the way Brandon Ingram is playing right now and who they are defensively, I think that top to bottom, the Pelicans are a better team.
All right, we'll leave it there. Going to the NFL now. Baker Mayfield says he feels disrespected by the Cleveland Browns after they traded for Deshaun Watson last month, effectively ending Mayfield's tenure after four seasons as the team's starting quarterback. Though Mayfield remains on the Browns roster, the team is actively looking to trade him. Mayfield said the Seattle Seahawks, who traded away star quarterback Russell Wilson to the Denver Broncos this offseason, were probably the most likely option for him. But I'll let Baker explain for himself, and he has a great couch.
I feel disrespected 100% because I was told one thing and they completely did another. When I wasn't performing on the field, that's when it really started going downhill. Then when it started hindering my play, and that's when I started losing my own self-confidence and just losing myself. This past year was rough. I would love to show up to somebody's cubicle and just boo the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And see, and watch them crumble.
Lewis and D Wood are back. First, let me just tell you this. Stephen A. always accuses me of like being all over the place. Like, I'm always paying attention. You guys will be talking. I'm looking at the bookshelf, like just all over. So the couch got me last time because I was like, that's a sick couch. That looks so. But is it possible? Can we show the dog again? Did you see the
dog?
Private park exposed. Does not
the
give a damn. Look
at him. Chilling. I mean,
just letting the air out, Lewis.
It took me the second time around.
That's what I'm saying.
To pick up on the dog right there, just living his best life. He is not stressed, unlike Baker.
Hey.
See, this is what Stephen A. talks about. I need to stay focused. Guys, great to have you back with us. I want to start with Jay Will on this one, bringing a different perspective. Jay, do you feel like Baker's justified in feeling disrespected on how this whole situation was handled with the Browns?
Do I feel like he's justified? Guys, sure. Of course, as a professional athlete playing back in the day, you take everything that your organization does to you personally because you're personally invested. And I get that Baker Mayfield will go into his bag of emotions. Let's be honest about it, guys. No one cares. No one cares. Fans want to see results on the field. And here's where he lost me. I get having the shoulder injuries. I get playing through injuries, even though Matthew Stafford played through a lot of injuries. We didn't hear anything from him. He just won a Super Bowl. I get all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, it was the last line, Big Wood and Lewis, that really lost me, where he went into, well, how would you feel if, you know, fans just showed up to your cubicle and booed the hell out of you every single day? I'm like, why are you going there? Because you know what? You're making a guaranteed $19 million a year for this upcoming year. Guaranteed $19 million. And you know what, Baker? You've had opportunities. I know you have multiple head coaches, multiple OCs, and trust me, I'm a Baker Mayfield fan. I want to see him win. But when he starts talking so much to the point that he's ridiculing fans, fans are gonna boo him regardless, right, guys? He wasn't winning. And by the way, I know you feel disrespected, but the Cleveland Browns just landed a top five quarterback. A top five quarterback in this league who they guaranteed over $200+ million to. This is the way big business is done. So instead of telling me about the spilt milk, tell me about your plan on how you're going to go out and you're going to kick somebody's tail and how you're going to get a starting position next year. Or tell me about what your plan is to get back on the field and how you've learned how to be a new leader. Instead of sprinkling these little things in, it completely takes me away from what I want the narrative to be about for Baker Mayfield.
Lewis?
Yeah, you know what? Jay, well, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think with Baker, the only thing I would push back on is this, and then I'll go explain further. You know, making $19 million a year does not take away the fact that you're a human being and that you still, you know, have emotional reactions to how people maybe, you know, may perceive your performance on the football field or how people may perceive your performance at whatever job that you're doing. The amount of money you make does not make you less human and make you less likely to react emotionally. But that being said, I think the thing that Baker does that he needs to correct is stop reacting publicly emotionally and making people basically turn against him because of the fact that every single time something happens to him, he has something to say about it in a way that just casts him in a less than favorable light. He does it all the time. He does it too much. He needs to keep some of these feelings private. As far as him feeling disrespected, yeah, I can totally get it. And I said this before. He did play the season hurt. I'm sure they were telling him, look, we need you out there. You give us the best chance to win. We need you to play through this injury. We know that this shoulder harness severely limits your ability to follow through and throw the football with accuracy. Yeah, you're going to have some throws that make you look like you don't even deserve to be a JV caliber quarterback. Well, then, if that's the case, and you're going to still, with that context being known inside the building, if you're still going to say, well, you know what, you just weren't good enough. You just weren't good enough. And because if you're the player, you're going, but I played hurt for you. I played hurt through this stuff. You knew what I was dealing with. So, okay, look, if that being said, you still feel as though you want to upgrade the position, just tell me about it. And so I can maybe start looking to a new team, looking for somewhere else to work. And then you guys just go ahead and do your own business. Communication is the key. Communication is the key. On their part, on Cleveland's part, on Baker's part, it's saying less, doing more. Work on your game. Don't always air out all your emotions, you know, and kind of keep some things private that need to be private. You don't have to constantly keep Instagram in business, Instagram story in business by constantly putting all your business out there. And then, you know, we wouldn't even be having these discussions if those two lessons could be learned. And look, as far as we know that professional sports is about, it's a replacement business. Whether it's the NBA, the NFL, MLB, NHL, it's all replacement business. We know that. I know it from being a player, and I also know it from being a front office executive. Your job is always to try and find the next best alternative. And as a player, every time someone was brought in for a workout, I was looking over my shoulder going, what position does he play? Who's he here for? Of course, we understand all that. But it doesn't take away from the fact that there is a reason, or rather, there is a way that you need to do business. And communication is at the heart of it. And at the same time, we also need to remember that these guys are human beings and they're going to react emotionally to some things. Baker needs to learn to keep some of that stuff in-house, though, because it is tarnishing his reputation and it is causing us to have subjects surrounding him and having conversations surrounding him like this one where it's just not favorable to him. And having talked to the kid, he's not – when you talk to him about the game and what it means to him and how and what and what's important to him, he's not what he comes off as in the public eye. He really isn't.
He would.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I guess for me, I'm just not naive enough to think that, you know, a team wouldn't come, you know, to try to replace me. You know, I'm a guy that always looked at things just straight up for what it is. The NFL, once you come into the league, and I'm not just specifying the NFL, but all these sports leagues, once you come in, they're always looking to try to, you know, replace you, whether it be, you know, for a cheaper option or just for a better option. And listen, it's admirable that Baker Mayfield played with that shoulder injury. We know that. We know he was hurt last year. But the one thing as former players that we know is whether it's on the field, on the court, once you step out there when you're hurt, that people expect you to go out there and play at your best ability, at your highest ability. So when you talk about Baker Mayfield and what's going on with the Cleveland Browns as it relates to the AFC, this is an arms race. Look at the quarterbacks in that conference. And so the Cleveland Browns are sitting back and looking at, you know, everything in its totality saying, listen, we have a roster we feel like that can go out and win a championship right now. Do we have the quarterback to go toe-to-toe with all these other top-notch QBs in our conference to be able to go toe-to-toe and go win that conference? And so for the Cleveland Browns, the decision was simple. Now, we can question the way they went about in communicating that, but we all know that sports is a cold business, especially the NFL. they don't give a damn. They're going to go out there and do what they feel is in their best interest to give themselves the best opportunity to win a championship.
Let me just play armchair psychologist, because we all kind of agree on this. And Jay, I'll ask you this. What do you think Baker's motive for doing that was?
It honestly felt like it was just a release. And I get this, because I do think there is something cathartic about just talking through your emotions. But if I were part of Baker's team, I would really make sure we sat down before he did this and say, hey, look, I get that you're in your own bag of your emotions about the way things were handled. They could have been handled better. But the one narrative I don't want to come off this is that, and Lou, I agree with your point about just because you make $19 million doesn't make you less human. I think that's a valid point. But I think the narrative spun off this interview as if he was playing victim. And when I start hearing a guy like Baker play victim, I start saying to myself, hold on, man. Like, you had Nick Chubb, you had Kareem Hunt, you had OBJ, who in a way forced his way out. You got Jarvis Landry that came on the back end of this and said, I'm not sure this organization is for me too. So this speaks about the kind of leader that you were with the opportunity that you had. And I don't like the way that spun off, because I agree with you. When you do talk to him, you feel like it's different somebody internally when you talk to him as opposed to somebody externally with the way this narrative is being pushed for him.
Yeah, look, Jay, I agree, man. Look, he has some growth that he still needs to experience. No doubt, as far as being a leader, as far as how he conducts himself in front of the media, the kind of things he shares with the media as opposed to the things he should keep in-house and just work on internally, work on personally. Because right now he's not doing himself any favors by doing podcasts like this, and you're right, and portraying himself almost, quote-unquote, as a victim. Especially considering all the circumstantial evidence surrounding him, or rather all the noise that has always surrounded him in terms of other players saying, hey, look, man, I want out of here. That it all seems to point back to maybe in some way, shape, or form, directly or indirectly, to him in his style. So, yeah, he needs to really self-assess in a big-time way, and he needs to do it privately, not on podcasts. Just don't do it like that, because that's never going to turn out good, especially if your message comes across like it just did.
Yeah, and if your goal ultimately is to be respected.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
All right, so the Cavs hoping to have a better showing against Atlanta tomorrow than they did versus the Nets. Brooklyn was led by great play from Kyrie Irving, who put up 34 points, 12 assists in the big win. And remember, he's now eligible to play in any game, whether it's in New York or not. Jay Williams with a hot take on Kyrie yesterday. Let's go.
I think Kyrie Irving is the best offensive player we have in the game of basketball. I'm not saying he's the most efficient. I know that's part of the conversation.
Right.
I've never seen, and y'all can sit up here and say whatever the hell you want
right.
about how I defended Kyrie during the vaccine stuff. Say, I'm just telling you, as a guard who studies this game,
right.
who's right. challenged people, escapability, I hear you use that word a ton, right. his difficulty in shot making,
I understand.
I've never seen somebody be able to do what he's been able to do with the ball.
I'm going to come to
like
tell
this
with
before.
This. I'm
going to
come to with this.
Ever.
Let's just marinate on that for a second.
Just sit on
okay.
that for a
we
second.
Took that moment. Mm-hmm. Okay, I
yep.
took it in.
I understand
Tim
there's
Legler.
A seven-footer on his team.
Who's the best offensive player in basketball today?
Man, well, at least now we know.
You put the picture right behind him. I mean, obviously, that's where we're going.
We do know at least now why you picked
the Nets to sweep the Celtics, which is amazing.
Don't start with these false narratives out there. Nobody said sweep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Nobody said sweep. See, I mean, don't stop this. Don't do this to me. No, I didn't say no.
What? He did not say they were going to sweep.
Thank you. He didn't say sweep. Now we heard Robert Williams.
He didn't say sweep.
You might not clean up with this, Bethel.
I think the word he used was dismiss. I don't remember. Something like that. Anyway, listen.
Cold-blooded.
I disagree because of this guy right here, Kevin Durant, but I totally understand where your argument's coming from. All right, when you look at Kyrie Irving's ability to dominate the middle area of the floor at his size, we've never really seen a guy do it at his height, be able to get any shot he wants anytime against any defender, any scheme, any size. It doesn't matter because of the electric handle, the range, you know, the incredible really finishing ability and innate ability to move the ball and manipulate it around shot blockers at the rim. He's ambidextrous when he finishes. Like, all of those reasons. You make a great argument. Ultimately, though, I'm going to go with the guy that possesses the greatest combination in one body of length, handle, and shooting ability, because we've never had a guy walk this planet like Kevin Durant with the length at 6'11", the pure stroke, and then handles the ball like a two-guard. No one player has ever possessed all three of those things. And what that means is, at no point against Kevin Durant is there a win defensively. And that's why I think he's the best offensive player. You can't put a certain type of personnel on him. You can't force him to any area of the floor that's a weakness, or any type of shot. You can't really even run extra guys at him because of where he's operating on the floor makes it impossible to run double teams at him a lot of times from that area. So ultimately for me, Jay, it comes down to this guy has an answer for everything. And I do think because of Kyrie's limitations with his size, there are situations you can get him in a court against certain defenders that he's making a very, very, very difficult shot, an almost unmakeable shot at times. I don't think anything that leaves Kevin Durant's fingertips is unmakeable. And that's why I would say, to me, he is still the best offensive player in the league.
It's always guys like you, guys 6'6", trying to hold the little guys back. That's what this comes to. It comes down to length and sides. Look, first off, what does this say about the Nets that we're having an argument about who is the most gifted offensive player?
Exactly.
And
should
it's
be more confident
two guys on the same team. Yes, but sometimes you guys are making me waver a little bit here.
It's intimidating.
We're just hitting him.
He's jabbing me. And then Molly comes through with the haymakers.
We'll have him flip by the end of the show.
Yeah,
he's got about 45
worries.
Minutes.
Very manipulative over
here's what I will say about Kyrie that I think doesn't get enough credit. You see, it's funny. When people walk up to me on the street, a lot of people say to me, oh, you're taller than what I thought you were. Because you see me on TV when I played and I was next to people who were aliens. Mm-hmm. LeBron James is an alien. Like, LeBron James is the size and weight of Karl Malone, but can move that way. I've worked out with KD. When you see him, you're like, wait, man, you're 7 feet. You can do all that. I think one of the reasons why I'm probably a little bit more biased towards Kyrie is because it's more like Steph Curry to me. It's more like if you were seeing Kyrie Irving walk down the street and he had a Yankees cap on, you wouldn't notice him different than anybody else on the streets of New York City or any other city in America. So when I see a person at that size, at that height, have the escapability, be able to finish at the rim, not just with both hands, but at different angles on the glass. Like, there's sometimes he hits the ball almost towards the top of the backboard and the ball drops in nothing but net. You can't double team. I'm seeing guys run double teams at Kevin Durant before he gets the ball over the court. And KD will make the right play. He'll give it up. I see Kyrie say, oh, please, run double teams at me. Because my dribble is like, I'm a wizard. I'm a 3.0 version of Kevin Strickland, right? Rod Strickland, which is different. So that and the finishing ability and the tough shot-making ability. I know that Kevin Durant can shoot over the top of people. Like, I know that last year, that foot being on the line, that could have been a game winner. But there is a part of me watching KD on game-winning shots over the last couple of shots. I'm like, do I want Kyrie Irving to take those tough shots? Because I think I can make a case that Kyrie might be a more difficult shot maker than Kevin Durant. People always think, oh, because KD's size, he can shoot over people. But Kyrie's ability to create space off the dribble is what I think makes him unique. And I don't think KD has that. KD has to shoot over the top of you, which I'm not saying, you know, you can if you put size on him, or if you put a bigger guy on him, he can create space with his dribble. But Kyrie's ability to create space on anybody It's something that makes him unique and different.
It's a phenomenal point, and my counter to your argument would be about the difficult shot making, because you're 100% right. Kyrie Irving is one of the greatest difficult shot makers this league's ever seen. You'd put Kobe in that category, right? Just the contested mid-range shot maker. That's the toughest shot in basketball. Guys draped on you at 18 feet, and you're still making shots. So I would put him in that category, but I would say this. Maybe the reason that you would put Kyrie Irving ahead of Kevin Durant in terms of making difficult shots is because fewer shots are difficult to make for Kevin Durant.
That's fair.
Okay, yeah, because it doesn't look as difficult because he's getting it off with that high release and he's already 6'11 when he takes off. It doesn't look as hard to him, even though it's the same shot. It's a pull-up 18-footer with a guy in your face. With Kyrie, because of his height, it looks more difficult. Kevin Durant just makes it look easier, even though it's basically the same degree of difficulty on the shot going in.
That's fair.
Let me ask you this, and I'm asking you to prognosticate, but if we took a bunch of NBA players right now and we asked them this question, do you think they would say Kevin Durant?
I do.
I think probably the majority would, but yeah. I think a lot of guards that have to defend Kyrie on any given night, when he does things like he did the other night, I think the level of appreciation for his style of play has gone up dramatically, especially this season, because of the amount of attention on him coming back and playing. And I get he's playing with fresh legs, but still, I mean, some of the shots he's making and some of the moves he makes, it's extraordinary. It's like watching Picasso on the basketball court.
Yeah. It's amazing. He's got a counter. He's got a counter.
A counter and a counter to that counter.
Throwing at him. It's, and I've always thought the most underrated aspect of his game. I played with the guard in Washington that was one of the best I ever saw at moving the ball around and never getting it blocked at the rim was Rod Strickland.
Right. Uh-huh.
And Kyrie Irving has that, and he's got it with either hand. Because you think he's taking it into bad situations, and somehow he ends up with something quality out of it at the end. It's really amazing to watch him manipulate the ball in traffic, into paint. So, you know what? Maybe Jay's convincing me about
this. So, no one else would
It's close. I mean, it's not
gentlemen,
like,
no one else would be in the mix? It's just those two?
For greatest offensive player?
Currently?
Probably they're right. They're
probably 1-2.
Clear cut
1-2.
All right.
Clear cut.
Fair enough. You know what you just saved yourself from?
What's that?
James Harden. Is he under pressure?
What? We don't get to talk about it?
Oh, you want it? You can do it right now if you want. Mark. Are you buying it?
No.
Because he says he's not feeling any pressure.
Absolutely not.
Oh, I thought you were going to be so happy you didn't want to talk about it anymore, Mr. Philly.
Oh, no, I don't mind, because this is near and dear to my heart, because I can't fathom an athlete in that city coming up with his track record and some of the things that have happened to him in the postseason and coming in there with what the organization just went through, with all the drama around Ben Simmons, all they gave up to get him, going two-thirds of the year without any other player in mind except this player and a guy in an MVP season next to him. And you say, I got nothing to prove. And hearing people driving off the road, tires screeching on the Ben Franklin Bridge as people pull off on Sports Talk Radio in Philly, because you're going, what are you talking about? I don't feel any pressure. I've got nothing to prove. And nothing could be further from the truth. And he's putting it out there for public consumption.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to bother me with what you say. I'm beyond that. I'm good with who I am, and I'm secure. And that's fine for public consumption. But we all know how the human mind works. He's got to be alone with his own thoughts at times, and there's no question in my mind he's feeling it. And, by the way, I got news for you. He's going to feel it in a level of accountability and scrutiny like he has never experienced. If he comes up small, particularly in this series, first-round series, and they go home with everything they went through to get to this point, if he does not deliver and get them at least the next round. And part of it, because he plays well, he's never going to deal with anything like he's dealt with. And people can say, oh, he's going to get his money anyway, and he should be good with that. Fine. If that's what you want to hang your hat on, I got my money, I'm a Hall of Famer, who cares? Great. Well, that's not what how the great ones think. You know, stand up there and say, yeah, man, I know there's pressure on me, and I'm going to deliver. I'd rather hear him say that than say, I don't have any pressure, and I've got nothing to prove.
Legs, I am so worried about Daryl Morey, because if this is the leader of your team, I know what you are. I would say I'm competitive as hell. Like, I want to be the best at everything I do. So is there pressure? Yeah, there's pressure on me. But you know what? This city deserves a championship. And at the end of the day, that's why I was brought here. But when you think about James Harden, he's gotten everything he's always wanted. Oh, I don't like the way this situation is going in Houston. I want out. I forced my way out. Oh, now I'm in Brooklyn. Hey, this is not what I signed up for. Get me out. Now I'm in Philadelphia. I'm okay. You know why? Because he knows. Is Daryl Morey, after moving heaven to earth, giving up the number one pick in Ben Simmons, giving up Andre Drummond, Seth Curry, multiple draft picks. Is he going to mortgage the house and then just let James Harden walk out the street?
No, he's going to
get his money regardless.
Yeah,
and that's the mentality I worry about. And I feel bad for Joel Embiid, because at the end of the day, I want to see Joel Embiid rewarded for being healthy and hopefully giving a chance to win a championship.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm alone in my room. I stare at the wall. Who can I call?
Yeah. Right. Right. Only you know, Molly.
Exactly.
Only you know,
Molly. But guess what? This girl's never going to admit it. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Clayton Kershaw made a season debut against the Twins yesterday. He was perfect. Well, not the type of perfect that you'll get in the record books. After Dave Roberts pulled him after the seventh inning, after throwing just 80 pitches, Kershaw didn't put up a fight after striking out 13 to 21 batters in the 7-0 victories. Here's Roberts and Kershaw on the decision.
I'm as big a fan as anyone and a fan of Clayton, and to see a battery of him and Austin throw a perfect game or a no-hitter, I'm all in. But again, to what end or to what cost? And so every decision I make is for the best interest of the player, their health, and the ball club.
Those are individual things. Those are selfish goals, and we're trying to win, you know, and that's really all we're here for. And as much as I would have wanted to do it, I've thrown 75 pitches in a sim game, you know, and I hadn't gone six innings, let alone seven. And sure, I would have loved to have do it, but, you know, maybe we'll get another chance. Who knows?
Okay. I've been waiting to talk about this all show, and our producer Ryan Staloff's probably laughing at me because he's obsessed with baseball, but it's the truth. We welcome in Jeff Passan here with Damian and Jay. So, Jeff, yesterday I was stalking your Twitter, and you tweeted in part that there have been over 220,000 games, just 23 perfect games in MLB history. Jeff Passan, do you think Roberts should have let Kershaw go for the perfect game?
I don't want to lay this completely on Dave Roberts. What I think we need to look at is the institution of baseball and the way that fear drives so many decisions when it comes to pitching. And listen, I spent 4 years researching this for a book on the pitching arm, and one conclusion I came to is that nobody knows anything. Like, I'd love to sit here and say after all that research that I've become enlightened and a guru of the arm. No, I don't know anything. Dave Roberts doesn't know anything. Clayton Kershaw doesn't know anything. Nobody knows how to keep pitchers healthy. And that was the frustrating part of it to me. Now, I understand the decision. Like, deep down, I get it. Clayton Kershaw is older. He's got a lot of mileage on him. He's coming off an injury. It was 36 degrees in Minnesota yesterday. His pitch count hasn't built up. Like, if there's any day to put the dampener on a guy, yesterday was the day. But at the same time, nobody can sit here and say that keeping Clayton Kershaw out of finishing that perfect game yesterday is going to guarantee or even make it any likelier that he stays healthy over the rest of the season. And that's the part that bothers me, the notion that we have any clue that X is going to equal Y in the end, that a decision is going to lead to something good.
Jeff, don't worry. I'll be the villain for you here, my friend. Sports is about magical moments. That's what we love about sports. Those moments where you sit there and you say, damn, I can't believe I witnessed this. I can't believe I witnessed Devin Booker go for over 70. Hey, I had a chance the other night watching Anthony Edwards for the Minnesota Timberwolves go for 50. You know what he did? He kept trying to get jacks up. They kept letting him go for it. And I feel like since sports is made for magical moments, Dave Roberts robbed us from a magical moment. Here's my problem with baseball in general. And Jeff, I've called you on multitude of occasions to learn more about it. I've gone to games. I threw out the first pitch at the Mets game.
Like he literally called me to talk baseball. That is 100% true.
Exactly.
And by the way, Jay, it was the phone call was, why does your game suck? Tell me why it doesn't. So this is kind of making the point for me.
Yeah, that's my point though, Jeff. So I'm sitting here trying to find reasons to become a bigger fan of a sport that I think at times puts me to sleep. So when I'm, you know, breaking down things on my show, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, about Tyler Hero has more Instagram followers than Mike Trout, one of the most explosive offensive players in baseball, and Tyler Hero is up for sixth man of the year, I'm like, that's a problem with the notoriety of the sport. So when a guy is in position to throw for the perfect game, how do you not let him go for it? Two things can be true at the same time. You can still go for a World Series championship, which you won last year, while letting your player go for an individual accolade such as this. And even if his pitch seems off, Jeff, if he's losing some of his pop, then let that be on him. If he doesn't do it, if they get a hit, then fine, take him out of the game. But don't rob us in a sport that is dying for magical moments to go viral, for a sport that's dying for people to talk more about it, from one of the most magical moments we can ever see in the history of the sport.
Yeah, listen, I'm not going to sit here and just try to bash Dave Roberts, because I think sometimes as a coach, you almost got to save a player from himself. And I look at this whole situation. To me, it's not about Dave Roberts. It's not about Clayton Kershaw. It's more about how analytics and the numbers, they drive baseball so much that they rob us of these moments. I mean, you know, Jeff, you talked about baseball has been around for, 140 years? And there's only been like 20 perfect games. Like, dude, you got to go for that. Like, in a sport that's dwindling as far as, you know, fans are concerned, we've seen like how popular football and basketball, you know, are in this country. You had an opportunity where you could have showcased a moment that you don't get to see very often in baseball. And you're going to chicken out because, oh, he threw 80 pitches and we got to think long terms. Like, that's BS to me. We're at the beginning of the season. Fans want to see these type of moments. I agree with Jay Will in that regard, that you just robbed not only the fans, the intense fans of baseball, but the casual fans of an opportunity to see something special in that sport of baseball. And I think that's what, you know, Dave Roberts and maybe some of the aficionados of baseball seem to forget about this whole situation.
Jeff, yeah, what they did give us is an ability to, they gave us an ability to debate this, which I think is a good thing. I do wonder if we'd be talking for 5 minutes about Clayton Kershaw's perfect game as opposed to this. But one thing I will say, and this is important for baseball going forward, the starting pitcher and the role of the starting pitcher has been diminished. It's been diminished, I think, to a deleterious point where the game is being harmed for it. And I think the game is going slower because of it. And I think bringing the starting pitcher back as a focal point, whether it's in the matchups, whether it's making the guys stars, is an important thing for baseball as it reimagines itself over the next few years, a priority for a number of people. And I think if that's the case, then situations like this, or of guys being yanked too early from games like Blake Snell in the postseason, we're going to see that happen less frequently, and it's going to look a lot more like baseball used to, where the starting pitcher was the star.
Yeah, I understand the intention, but it certainly was a missed moment. I like how you just go for the jugular. Just call him up, why does your sport suck?
This is the era's best pitcher. I want to see him do something incredible. I don't understand why you don't let us have that moment.
Yeah. Every time I see Jeff Passan's Nintendo, I have the moment of when I used to play Duck Hunt back in the day. Did any of you guys have that, or just Mario Brothers?
I was more of a Contra, up, down, left, right, ABC.
It's real, by the way.
There you go.
It's real.
There we go.
Anyone who wonders whether it's real. It's real.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Jeff. And speaking of all-time Dodger greats, of course, nobody has had a more profound impact on the sport than Jackie Robinson. April 15th is a special day in baseball, but this year it's the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson shattering the color barrier and setting the stage for momentous change in society. Today, an all-time great in tennis who was 3 years old when Robinson debuted for the Brooklyn Dodgers shares how he inspired her through lifelong battles for women's rights and equality, all part of our series, Black History Always.
In my household, because my dad's such a sports nut, he started talking about Jackie Robinson to me as early as I can remember. A few years later in the 50s, I started to watch television and realized that black children could not go to school in the South with white children, and I didn't understand that. And so what my dad would explain is that Jackie Robinson's trying to break down those barriers so that everybody will be included. I was very conditioned to thinking about inclusion. When I was 12, I had my epiphany at the Los Angeles Tennis Club. I just played tennis for a year, and I started to realize everybody who played was white that I had seen up to this time in my youth. And so I promised myself that day that I'd fight for equality the rest of my life.
Live from the Astrodome in Houston, Texas, the tennis battle of the sexes, Billie Jean King versus Bobby Riggs.
I'm ready to play, and I'm going to try to win for all the guys around the world who feel as I do, that the male is king, the male is supreme.
The women's movement is really making a better life for more people other than just women, and I feel very strongly about it from that point of view.
September 20th, 1973, I played against Bobby Riggs, who had been the former number one player in the world. I thought about Title IX. I've got to win because I want Title IX to stay strong. I thought about Jackie. I thought about a lot of people. I thought about Althea Gibson. I thought about Martin Luther King Jr. Those are the people you do think about before you play a match like I played against Bobby Riggs.
It is over. Let's watch Bobby Riggs.
I mean, I know that I only have one moment in time that I have to win that match. 90 million people saw it throughout the world, so it was a big influencer to that match. The women's movement was at its height, the second wave, and I wanted that to be carried forward. I only had one night, and I knew how crucial it was. Jackie, every day he'd wake up, he has to think, whew, boy, he's got to suck it up every morning and get ready for this onslaught of racism. I want to wake up with fire in the belly every morning and get ready for the day. And I think Jackie Robinson's legacy, his memory, is still very much alive. It's not about the past. It's about now and the future because of what Jackie Robinson stands for. To stand up, to be included, to be treated fairly, like every human being wants to be.
Billie Jean King, carrying the torch, won 39 major titles, 12 in singles. She led the battle for women to receive equal prize money in tennis. For our interview, she said she wore Dodger blue to honor Jackie Robinson and because she's a part owner of the team. Please join us again tomorrow as we conclude our countdown to April 15th, that would be tomorrow, with another firsthand reflection in our series, Jackie to Me. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Our First Take Draft Blitz rolls on with the Broncos, who turn heads acquiring Russell Wilson from the Seahawks for 3 players and 5 picks, including the 9th pick in this year's draft. They no longer have a first-round selection but are set at quarterback after years of instability at that position. Denver's top 5-rated defense last year got better, too, adding defensive tackle
DJ Jones, Lewis Riddick, Damian Woody are back. Hello, hello, gentlemen. Lou, you're up first. The AFC West loaded, but not every team's going to make the playoffs. So which team in this division is least likely to make the postseason?
Yeah, I will say it is Denver, although that doesn't change the expectations that people are going to have of this football team, given what they gave up to get Russell and how Russell basically orchestrated his exit out of Seattle and to Denver. So, but I still think that this team, because of the fact that this division is so stacked, because of the fact that Derek Carr is someone who has the familiarity with his locker room, with his teammates, with his number one wide receiver who they brought over from Green Bay and Devontae Adams, I think they will make it. They will make a run at the division title. I think Justin Herbert will take his game to a whole new level in LA with the Chargers, and I think all of his primary weapons are back. And so, and I think Kansas City, look, they have the best offensive line by far of anyone in the division, by far. And they are armed with nothing but a plethora of draft picks, two of them in the first round at the bottom half of the first round. So they're going to get more wide receivers, along with Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster, who they already have in order to replace and kind of help, you know, mitigate a little bit of the loss that they're going to feel from Tyreek Hill not being there anymore. So, look, I think that leads Denver as the odd team out. But again, let me couch that by saying this. The expectation is that this team, at the very least, gets a wild card spot. At the very least. But I just don't, I think if you're going to force me to pick, that would be the one that I think would be on the outside looking in that scenario.
Yeah, oof. Lewis, this is a tough one. I went with the Las Vegas Raiders. And, you know, listen, Derek Carr, what he went through last year with the coaching change, and then obviously, you know, Henry Ruggs III, and be able to navigate that team to the postseason. I mean, I gained a whole new level of respect for David Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders. But also, here's what I want to point out about this Raiders team. In the Derek Carr era, they've had the worst scoring defense in the National Football League, 32nd in the league since Derek Carr has been the starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. And I look at this defense. Patrick Graham comes over as the new defensive coordinator from New York Football Giants.
Yep.
And I think he's got to find a way to navigate this defense. They added Chandler Jones opposite Max Crosby. If they can get this defense up to par with all those teams in the AFC West, they have a shot. But I'm going to say of all the teams in the AFC West right now, I'm going to say the Las Vegas Raiders for me.
That's fair. Lou, I need your help on something because, you know, do you have return? Can you see Damian Woody? Because obviously he always joins us from his palatial estate. And we know you love your baby grand here on First Take. So earlier on IG, he posted this. There we go. Okay. Getting myself together for a little TV today. Maybe I should jump on that piano at some point. I mean, Lou, what do you think? Should he throw down on the keys? Do you want to do the walk and talk? Because I got time for you. I got about like 60 seconds. We can make this happen. Or you want to wait for Stephen A? You talk to me.
Hey, Kent.
Well, yeah, you know what? I think I'm not going to do anything halfway, Molly.
Okay.
I'm not going to do anything halfway. I'm not going to get on here and play some, you know, some elementary school type of thing.
Okay.
I'm going to get on here and I'm going to do what
so
I do.
Hold up. Wait. You
okay?
Got on Baker Mayfield for talking that talk. You're talking that talk here on IG. And now what? This is all we got?
I said maybe. I didn't say I was going to do it, Molly. I said maybe.
If you can play that piano and you got some legit skills, you can easily just walk over there, hit like 5 seconds and have us all going, ooh, man, all right, you can do that right now. Don't be sitting there hemming and hawing, Woody.
Listen,
just
man,
go
listen.
Do it.
Come on, D-Wood.
Come on, D-Wood. I got to make sure that I do this thing right.
Come on, D-Wood. And the house
is
not
okay, so you're scared. All right, so you're scared. You're scared. I got it.
I know the producer Ryan
Ryan is doing this. He fed it to me. Oh
you're
my
scared.
Goodness.
That's all I know. You're scared.
I'm still waiting for the day.
All I know is you're scared. That's all
wow.
I know.
You just call
That's
me when you're ready.
Are you calling Lou?
Listen, hold up.
Me
some of
like
us
that?
Stay ready and some of us
yeah,
get
yeah,
ready.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
I see what
yeah.
it is.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is playoffs. Let's go, Jay. Will, Hawks, Cavaliers, ESPN 7 Eastern. Who you got?
I love Darius Garland, but I'm going with Ice Trey in this one. I think at the end of the day, the Hawks have had some injuries. We'll see if Lou Will and John Collins come back. Yeah. But I think top to bottom, the Hawks are that team. I like to have that matchup with Miami in the first round.
Trey, most points and assists in the NBA. All right, Pelicans, Clippers.
I'm going with the Pels. I'm going with CJ McCollum. I know the Clippers are -4. Take that money. They're giving you free money. I'm telling you right now, they are giving you free money. Clippers -4. I'm taking the Pelicans tomorrow.
Any other life advice? We have like 11 seconds.
Well, we're going to talk about NFTs and crypto, and I need to see D. Wood play Life Without a Home.
Yeah, we do. He's been practicing way too long. What is this? Goodbye, everyone. See you tomorrow. Stephen A. will be here.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.